building strong foundations. We went through two of the building blocks necessary for building strong foundations. For the benefit of those who are not here when we began the series, I'll do a quick recap and then bring you today's block in that respect. Now, the first thing we spoke about is the importance of understanding that no matter how tall or beautiful a building is, without the appropriate foundation, everything that is put on it is wasted. Because when the winds blow and tough seasons come, if the foundation doesn't have the capacity to carry the weight upon which it is put, then you have just wasted your time. That it is the same thing in life, that whatever you are seeking to build, be it a marriage, be it a ministry, be it a business, a career, whatever, you need to build a strong foundation. There are people who have risen quickly, but the foundations upon which they have risen are not sure and are not solid. And so when winds blow, they tend to blow them away and we find them no more. There are ministries that erupted out of nowhere. They just came out of nowhere and started pulling crowds from everywhere. And suddenly, a wind blew and then you can't find them anymore. They become a history and a byword. Anything that is not built on a solid and sure foundation will not stand the test of time. I pray for you that anything you are building in your life will be on a sure foundation. You will build it on strong foundations. May your marriage be built on strong foundations. May your ministry be built on strong foundations. And may your business be built on strong foundations. Somebody shout, I am the one. Now we said that the first building block in building strong foundation is, talk to me now, is discernment. Is discernment. The ability to perceive spiritual realities concerning physical occurrences. We said everything that happens must have taken place in the spirit. The Bible said God will do nothing except he reveals to a servant the prophet. There are many things happening in this time, in this season, that you need to be able to discern the times. You need to be able to discern spirits, and you need to be able to discern, what's the last thing we said? People. That you discern the times, you discern spirits, and you discern people. We said that discernment is not suspicion, that you suspect. Otherwise, your feelings will be intermeddling with what the images and the promptings and nudges God is showing you. We said discernment is not a feeling as well. It's not what your emotions are telling you, because your emotions can be affected by so many things. But discernment is when the Spirit of the Lord comes so strong upon a man that he's able to catch the impulses as God himself is revealing them. Hallelujah. We said that if you put on your radio now and you change the dial to 99.7 or 97.3, you are able to catch something that is happening on a certain frequency. Now, if the radio is off, it does not mean that nothing is happening in that frequency. You have just not tuned your radio to be able to catch what is being transmitted along those lines. It is the same in the spirit. There are many things happening in the spirit, but your ability to be able to catch what is happening is what will bring you into foreknowledge. We said one way of building discernment is through intimacy, through prayer, that you need to pray. Prayer does more to you than it does for you. The next building block for building strong foundations is humility. Somebody say humility, or shouted humility. He said, the Bible said that God himself opposes the proud. Who is that man who can stand against God? Who is that man who can stand when God himself is your opposition? Even in the political sphere, when they meet an opposition, people lament, people cry, people complain. How much more when it is God himself who is your opposition? That is why when you see any proud person, you don't need a prophet to tell you this person is going nowhere. The Bible says pride goeth before a fall. In other words, when you meet a proud man, the next phase of his life is a fall. Can I go there? Oh, can I go there? Pride is a very dangerous thing, that if you build anything, if you build a ministry with pride, if you build a business with pride, if you build a marriage with pride, it will not survive, it will not stand. Because one of the characteristics of pride is that it precedes a fall. If we smell pride around, we are sure, we are certain that a fall is not far away. Amen. Number three, today, third building block of building strong foundations. Are you ready now? It's hard work. Somebody say hard work. Oh, please shout it, hard work. Now, there are many people, especially in our dispensation, where we speak about the grace of God, who some way, somehow, have come to believe or think that a Christian doesn't work hard. And I need you to follow me on this journey. Many people think that because of grace, everything just happens. Everything just opens, and doors just open, and things happen, and manifestations occur, and encounters happen. And because of those things, you don't need to work hard. But the third most important building block in building strong foundations is hard work. Now, you need to understand this. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 2 that nothing grew out of the ground. Genesis 2:5, nothing grew out of the ground. No bush, no shrub, no plant grew, because God had not caused water or rain to fall, because there was no man to till the land. In other words, God, one of the reasons God was creating man is to give man an assignment to till the land. When he created Adam, immediately he put him to work and he said, your assignment here and now is to go around and give every living creature a name. And everything that he gave, every name he gave to them, that became their name. He had an assignment. He had a job to tend that garden. Mind you, this assignment that was ascribed to him preceded the sin that took over the world. And so you cannot say that it was sin that produced work, because the work that he had to do came long before sin came into the world. The Bible says God even looked at Adam and said, it is not good that man is alone. Let us create for him a help meet. In other words, let's create for him somebody who will help him in the assignment that I have given to him. If man was doing nothing, why would man need help? It is only people doing something, attending to something, who have an assignment, who need help. And so God knew that he had given an assignment to Adam. So he brought Eve to partner with him so they do the assignment and pursue it together. Hallelujah. Ask your neighbor, are you working? Now ask them, are you working hard? There are many people in this world, even if you gave them an award for being the laziest people in the world, they will still send somebody to go for it. You cannot build anything if you don't work hard. Now, you read the Bible and you read the story of Samson. The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he carried the gate of an entire city. That's hard work. You read the Bible, and the other day I was preaching about the mountain of transfiguration. And the Bible says when Jesus and the two appeared there, Moses came and Elijah came. But you need to understand that they didn't grow wings to fly to the top of the mountain to have those encounters. They actually had to physically climb to the top of the mountain where they had those encounters. In other words, if they hadn't had the urge to work hard and climb to the top, even that memorable and historic encounter wouldn't have happened. If you are looking for encounters even in this kingdom, it comes with hard work, because even prayer is not for lazy people. So can I go there now? You cannot build anything in the realm of laziness. You cannot build a business in the realm of laziness. Anything that you don't attach a level of seriousness and hard work to will not produce results. Now look at this scripture. Let's look at a few scriptures. Proverbs 22:29. So if we read it quickly, please. No, let's do this one first. Proverbs 10:4-5. Proverbs 10:4-5.
Proverbs 10.
Yes, sir.
4. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand.
Read it again.
He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand.
Read it again.
He becometh poor that did lack hand.
If you have NIV, read NIV too. He becometh poor. So is that what it says? That dealeth with a slack hand. He becomes poor, he that is lazy. That's what the scripture is saying. A man that is lazy, that's what? Becomes poor. Can we say it together? He that is lazy becomes poor. One more time. He that is lazy becomes poor. For the last time, he that is lazy becomes poor. Now, this is scripture. This is the Bible. There is, in this equation, no room for demons. A man who is lazy doesn't need demonic assistance to be poor. I don't know if you heard that one. He doesn't need any demon to frustrate him because he's doing it all by himself. It becomes different when you are working hard and praying and do all the right things and things are not working. Then you need an infusion of something beyond the natural realm to cause the lines to fall for you in pleasant places. But here you are doing nothing. You have made the enemy's work easy. And the Bible, and you see, God has lifted up his word above his name. He enforces his word, because if his word does not come to pass, he has lied. And God is not like man that he should lie. And so when a word is spoken in the name of the Lord, that word must come to pass and that word must be established. Now, if the Lord allows a lazy man to become poor, he is going to become rich. He's going contrary to the word that he himself has spoken. And the enemy would also watch God and hold him to the integrity of his word. That you said that a man that is lazy must be poor. Ko menu is lazy. By your word, he must be poor. Case closed. When a man, if you are building a ministry and you are lazy, guess what? Nothing is happening in that ministry. Because when you are expected to be waiting on the Lord, you are sleeping. We're expected to be pursuing things and putting strategies in place and winning souls and going out there. You are sleeping. Because God says, I will build my church and the gates of it. So God should come and build. Now the Bible says, Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but it is the Lord that brought the increase. God's job is to bring increase to he that is planting. When you have planted nothing, there is no increase that will come in your life. God will not do the planting and the watering and the increasing for you. There is a place for everybody in this kingdom. And that is why the other day, when he was even turning water into wine, his first instruction for them was to go out there and get empty barrels and now fill the empty barrels with water. So now he comes and turns the water into wine. God will not bring barrels for you and fill them for you and cause the miracle to also come for you. There is a place of hard work for you in this kingdom that if you don't pursue it, Bible has said that you are walking in the realm of poverty. The first step to riches is hard work. Ask somebody, are you working hard? Many of us who are doing our own businesses, we treat the business as if it is a multi-million dollar business. What do I mean by that? We treat the business as if it has gotten to the point where we can afford to open the shop at 11 a.m. and close at 3 p.m. because it is our own shop. You cannot build. So far, you have the NIV. Please read it.
Proverbs 10:4. Lazy hands make for poverty.
Lazy hands make for poverty.
But diligent hands bring wealth.
But diligent hands bring wealth. I've met many, many young, educated, lazy people. Very, very entitled. You know, they think they deserve something. You deserve nothing. Because you don't deserve it any better than the next person seated by you. There are principles that produces results in this world. And if there are two of you pursuing the same thing, and one of them is more diligent, more applied, works hard in that enterprise, and the other person is sleeping, you don't expect by any shred of imagination to produce the same result. Now, I want this word to sink in. You are a musician, you sing. But whilst others are applying themselves, let me look this way, while others are applying themselves and building strong foundations, they are working hard, they are sleeping. Because you want God to come and touch your throat, then suddenly you are singing like Aku. Once you don't come to a place to understand that there's a place for hard work in this kingdom, things will keep long for you. There's a place for hard work. That is why you can't lay hands on somebody to become the world's best footballer. You didn't like that one. They say that hard work beats talent any day. People are gifted. They are talented. But talent and gift is not enough. The revivalists we read of and the men of God of old who have done, you will read about them, and some of them will begin service at 6 a.m. and by 6 p.m. service is still ongoing. What kind of strength is that? What kind of energy, physical ability is that? Right now, somebody's watching the watch. Time also. There are dimensions of operation that will not happen when we want to regulate everything. Your pen term. And if you close too, nothing is going to happen. So. There are some of you, when we enter your bedroom, we'll be disappointed because your makeup has given us an impression of you. Somebody didn't like what I said. That believe in the Lord. Lord, give me a husband. Lord, release that man. That I take that man by fire. And God looks at you quietly. Use that fire to clean your room. Many people say, one of the most abused descriptions. People, I'm a virtuous woman. I am a Proverbs 31 woman. Do you know what Proverbs 31 says? Read. If I say it, they'll think I'm making it up. So for you. Proverbs 31. Okay, read the 13 first. 13. 13. Any version. 13.
Proverbs 31:13.
Yes, sir.
She seeketh wool and flax, uh-huh, and worketh willingly with her hands.
She does what?
Seeks wool, uh-huh, and flax.
And then what does she do?
And she works willingly with her hands.
Willingly. Not because somebody is forcing or coercing her. She works willingly with her own hands. 16.
She considers a field, uh-huh, and buys it.
So that what?
With the fruit of her hand, she plants a vineyard.
She is working hard. She is spotting fields. In other words, seeing opportunities. She's buying the fields. She's using her own hands to do the planting. 24.
She makes fine linen, uh-huh, and she sells it.
She herself is making stuff. She is now in the business of selling. So this same person is a farmer. This same person is a homekeeper. This same person is a dressmaker. And this is Proverbs 31 woman. So you look at yourself in the mirror, see the makeup you have made on you, say, I am a virtuous woman. Mary Kay virtuous woman. The virtue they are expressing in this scripture is the virtue that makes her stand out because she's working hard. that makes us stand out. Young man, when you are choosing, open your eyes. Because there are some fathers. In fact, young woman, when you are choosing, you to open your eyes. Can I go there? Because there are some parents, and when you marry their children, they are so excited. You don't understand why. Because they haven't lost a son. They have gained a couch. Their couch is now free. Hallelujah. So open your eyes well. People look a certain way outside. But when you marry a lazy person, you are in trouble. You'll be praying prayers you ought not to be praying. Binding things that have no, you see, wasting, praying amiss. Binding things that, Father, our financial, God is looking at you. It is your laziness. It is no demons. It's not your mother at home. It's not the old lady in the, she doesn't know anything. She's minding her own business. Ask somebody, are you working hard? Are you working hard? Hallelujah. See, there is a certain level of hard work that when God begins to grace you and open doors for you, people don't even know how to fight you anymore. Because when they fight you spiritually, God is your shield and your buckler. When they come physically, you are working hard and you also deserve it. You are untouchable. Hallelujah. Any person, you see, it's either you are busy or a busybody. You know what busybody means? Many people don't know what it means. They think it's a compliment. Like they are busy doing things. That's not what it means. Busybody means somebody who goes around looking for things happening in people's lives. Because you have nothing doing. Oof, ifi insemu. You always want to, this person, what's happening in their life? And that person, what's going on in there? And this one, what's happening there? And you are, because you have nothing doing. When you are busy building something, you are focused on what you are building. Your mind is on it. Your heart is on it. Your passion, energy, and emotions are channeled towards building that thing. And you want to ensure that it succeeds. You want to ensure that it does well, because failure is not an option. When you have nothing doing, that is where you waste time chatting and doing unnecessary things. Hallelujah. The Bible said, Sofo, that and Isaac dug the wells of his father. Genesis 26:18. And gave them the same names his father had given them. And then they dug another well. And they were stopped. Read it. Then they dug another one. And they were stopped. And then they dug a third one. And then now the people didn't stop them. And they named the place Rehoboth, because the Lord had made room for them. Yes, God made room, but they still had to keep digging. Read.
Genesis 26:18.
Yeah.
And Isaac dig again the wells of water, which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father.
Yes.
For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham.
Right.
And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them.
Uh-huh.
19. And yeah. Isaac's servants digged in the valley.
Yeah.
And found there a well of springing water.
Yeah.
And the headmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's headmen, saying, the water is ours.
The water is ours.
And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with them.
What does he do? He gave up and went home.
And they dig another well.
No, they dug another well.
And strove for that also.
Yeah.
And he called the name Sitna. And he removed from thence and dig another well.
Removed and dug again.
And for that they strove not.
Mm.
And he called the name of it Rehoboth.
Why?
And he said, for now the Lord has made room for us.
The Lord has made room for us.
And we shall be fruitful
in
the land.
We shall be fruitful in the land. We will be fruitful. We will make it. We will make impact in this land. Because the Lord has done what? Has made room for us. In other words, even when they dug the first one and the people strove with him and with them and they lost it, God was still with them. When they went to the second one and they lost it, God was still with them. When they got to the third one, he now made room for them. And Isaac said, we will be fruitful here. Mind you, God had given a word to Isaac and said that, don't leave, stay in the same place. Why? Because even though there is a famine and everybody is failing in that place, you will sow in that same place and you will do well. So stay put right there because you will prosper in that land. But that does not mean that you will do nothing and the prosperity will find you. You've got to keep digging. Somebody dug something last year and lost it. And so you have stopped and you have slept. I came to encourage you, dig again and dig again. Don't stop there, dig again. You dug the well of ministry and they poured sand into it and destroyed it. But I came to challenge you to dig again and again because God is about to make room for you. I see your Rehoboth coming in ministry. I see that Rehoboth season coming where the Lord is about to make room for you in business and make room for you in your career and make room for you in your children and in marriage. That well that they stop you, a bigger well is about to be opened for you in the name of Jesus. Now you are about to be fruitful because you didn't give up. Now you are about to progress because you didn't give up. Now you are about to advance. Somebody say, he's talking to me now. He dug again and again. 1 Corinthians 3:6. Let me add these two scriptures and then I'll end it. 1 Corinthians 3:6. Hard work.
1 Corinthians 3:6.
Yes, sir.
I have planted, Apollos watered.
Yes.
But God gave the increase.
Paul said, I have planted. Question is, what are you planting? Have you planted? When it rains, the same rain means different things to different people. Are you with me now? To somebody, the rain is an indication that they will have no place to sleep tonight. To another person, the rain is an indication that their rooms will now become cozy for them to have a place to sleep at night. The same way. To one person, it shouldn't rain. They don't want it. Another person, the rain is coming to water that which they have planted, and the presence of rain is a sign of the beginning of abundance and the harvest. So the rain itself is nothing except what you have prepared for the rain to come and meet. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. The rain itself will do nothing and means nothing if you haven't planted anything. It is only those who have planted who the coming of the rain indicates a harvest is on the horizon. The question is, what are you planting? Because the rains are about to fall in the spirit. The rain of favor is about to fall. The rain of grace is about to fall. The rain of increase is about to fall. The rain of progress is about to fall. What have you put in the ground? What seed have you sown in the ground? What have you planted in the ground? See, because if you don't plant anything, by the time we are harvesting and we are jubilating, you will now become jealous and you become envious, which is the last stage to witchcraft. What are you planting? Hard work. Those that don't want to work hard wants to use they are the ones who want to use their bodies to obtain things. So for they thought I won't go there. If you see, you need to understand that if you begin on that journey, a day of bodily deflation is coming. When that day arrives, what are you going to do? Another for me, boy. There are now young men who want to sleep with people's wives to get things. You think you will remain young forever? A day of bodily flaccidity is coming. Bravo. What are you planting? What are you sowing? Hard work. See, work hard. Grace Temple people, work hard. We need to work hard. Work. There are countries that don't sleep. Economies that don't shut down. So, why are they advanced? Because they are working hard. Some of them, in fact, many of them don't believe in God as much as we do. but they are working hard. And the principle says, a lazy person must be poor. Do you realize that some of the people who we will consider lazy in this environment, if you pick them and you send them outside, they'll be working 3 jobs. Hard work. But if those same people were here, even 8 to 5, they will complain. You didn't like that one. You didn't like that one. Even working from home, tough, they will complain. Like you want to come and work from where? The mall. Hard work. They are advancing. They are moving on. They are thinking. They are never satisfied. They are working hard. We too, we are here. God will not do by miracle the things you ought to do by hard work. There are things that it is your duty to do. There are things that it is your place to do. There are things you need to do to advance. Imagine if a hard-working woman is married to a hard-working man. Imagine what will become of their future. Oh, can I go there? Imagine what will become of them. A hard work. You see the way you are hard-working right now, and you are married to a hard-working person just like you. Imagine. Just imagine it. You'll become unstoppable. Well, the problem arises when one person is hard working, the other person is sleeping. The other person is chilling, taking care of their bodies, going on vacations after vacations. Even when they're not on vacation, they are doing staycation. They need to chill. They want to take it easy. Everything has a season that God has assigned to its occurrence. Bible says there's a time for everything and a season for every activity. In other words, there's a timetable and a schedule in divinity where things are expected to happen. Everything we have on this earth is a mirror image of the things that are happening in the spirit. And the way we have dry season and wet season and whatnot, there are seasons also in the spirit. There are things like rice that must be planted in a certain season in a certain ground. Amen. You can't plant rice outside here. Why? It requires a mushy environment in order for it to do well. And so if you don't plant it at the right time, you may be planting but you miss it. It's the same thing with life. There are things some of you ought to be doing in this season. If you miss out on them, you will spend your whole life going around trying to rectify the things you missed in seasons past. There are seasons where planting must take place. You don't let them pass you by. You do the hard work required now, so your children don't have to come and suffer. Can I go there? You need to build some of the foundations, do the right things and do the planting, so your children will help you harvest. If your children come and suffer the same way you are suffering, there's a problem. It may not be an ancestral curse. It may be a generational laziness. Look at somebody's face and look into the eyes and say, work hard, work hard, work hard. Last scripture, Proverbs 22:29. Work hard. Proverbs 22:29.
Proverbs 22:29.
Yes, sir.
Seest thou a man diligent in his business?
What will happen?
He shall stand before kings.
Mm.
He shall not stand before mean men.
Mm. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? What will he do? He will stand before kings. In other words, he will stand before the prominent and the notable. He will not stand before mean men. His place will be shifted. He will be translated from a place of being among the mean to now stand before kings. Why? Because of the application of diligence in his business. Application of diligence and hard work in the thing that he's doing. Sleep is good and easy. How many of you know that one? Sleep is easy. Sleep is good. But if you get comfortable in your sleep, get ready to lay a bed in poverty. It's is a man who is diligent in his business. Look, from tomorrow, I want you to wake up with a renewed mind, a renewed attitude for your work, a renewed attitude for your business, a renewed attitude for your ministry, for your calling, a renewed attitude for every enterprise that concerns you. See, God can call you at any time and say, I want to have an encounter with you. Let's go. So I'm not in the mood. Some of us will set alarms. Alarm. 12 a.m. We'll be joining prayer war. Thought I won't go there. 12 a.m. I'll be joining prayer. The interesting thing is this. That if we have, let's say, 100 people on prayer wall at any given time, only 15 of them are in this place. You will have maybe another 20 or 30 in different countries. Some of them, it's even 3 a.m. in their countries, they have joined. Some of them, it's 1 a.m. they have joined. People that, because of Friday traffic, no. Friday. Wadakra. A man who is diligent in his business. I want you to lift up your right hand. You want to pray that in this third building block of hardware, may God grace you with a heart and a mind to pursue diligently everything he has put in your hands. Lift up your voice. Begin to pray for yourself right now. Father, oh God, that the ability and the capacity to apply ourselves diligently to everything you have put us in charge of, Father, release it unto us in the name of Jesus. Let this ministry be known for its hard working people all around in diverse enterprises and in diverse industries. May we raise, oh God, for you a people that have their mind focused on their assignments in the name of Jesus. In prayer, we will pray. In seeking you, we will seek you. In building kingdom-minded business entrepreneurs, may we build them in the name of Jesus. La marado shanda la baya. E pradina mazondaya. Le koradasha. Le pande. E la mado zade la brado shanda da baya. Le kadosa. Min kaledo zilabanda e kabaradada. We give you glory. We give you praise. In the mighty name of Jesus, we call it done. Amen. Please put your hands together for the Lord.
Thank you for listening to the Apostle Josiah Aubyn Jr. For more of these messages, please subscribe to his podcast and SoundCloud. It's Apostle Josiah Aubyn Jr. To interact with him, like his page on Facebook, follow him on Twitter at Apostle Josiah Aubyn Jr.